Psalm 31. Hey, Cecil and Tom, y'all do me a favor. Come up here with your Bibles. I'm going to have you read 3 verses each. We're going to read through the chapter. Okay? Aaron and Hur. H-U-R.
He's Hur, I'm Aaron.
No.
I don't want to be a Hur.
I could... Drop you like a bad habit. Okay. All right. Psalm 31, read 3 verses each. Go ahead.
In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy namesake, lead me and guide me.
Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for You are my strength. Into Your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Yahweh, God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in Yahweh.
I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy. For Thou hast considered my trouble, Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly.
For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity. And my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel.
For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me.
Make Your face to shine upon Your servant. Save me for Your mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Yahweh. For I have called upon You. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous.
Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of Thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for He hath shown me His marvelous kindness in a strong city.
For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before Your eyes. Nevertheless, You heard the voice of my supplications when I cried unto You. O love Yahweh, all ye His saints, for Yahweh preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in Yahweh.
Thank you. Jesus, I just think You're incredible. And I thank You for allowing me to be a part of Your life. And this morning, as we speak and as we listen to what You want to say, even as we heard Your word, we're asking that You would prepare our hearts, open our hearts, open our ears, open our understanding. Help us to not be hardened. Help us to not enter in with preconceived ideas, but lay down everything we think we know at Your feet, Jesus, for Your searching, for You, Tawanama, to bring us into Your way, unto Your heart, that we may fellowship in Your presence every day, every moment of our life. I'm asking You to do what only You can do. I'm asking You to bring forth truth that you want. And I don't even want to be up here, Lord. Just want to give you this time. And I ask, because there today in this room are souls in the balance. And I'm just asking that you would have mercy. And I just want to plead your blood. Cover each person in this room with your blood, Jesus. Every voice of the enemy, you be still, gagged, blindfolded, and bound. And may every ear and heart be open to what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself would say. Thank you, Lord. We need you. Nobody like you. Amen. Verse 19. Oh, how great. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Do you know how good God is? Do you know how good God is? Do you know Him? The enemy, bah, 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 bah. The enemy is the accuser. I want you to listen to me. Has anybody ever accused you? Said things against you they shouldn't have said? Have they hurt you? Lord, where is that? I think it's Revelation 12, if you want to go with me there, Revelation 12, yes, verse 10, do you remember in the book of Job when it says the sons of God came to appear before God in His presence? And the devil came among them. And God drew Satan's attention to the devil and said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him, one that fears God, does righteously, none like him in all the earth?" Do you remember that? Have you ever read Job, first chapter? And what did Job do? What did the devil do? The devil accused Job. And at first he started off by accusing God. Somewhere in there, because he said, he's only blessed because you bless him. He's only blessed because you set up a... He's only protected because you set up a hedge around him. The devil, and he said he only loves you because you do good things for him. You see, the devil, blah, 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 the devil is the accuser. The devil, I said it last week or the week before and asked you to say it with me. The devil hates your guts. The devil hates your guts. He is against you. He is your enemy. He's going to do everything he can to tear you down. There's many verses in the Bible that say that. We could go there, but let's look at Revelation 20 and verse 10. I mean 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." The devil accuses you before God day and night. He tries, here's what he does. Are you ready? Let's take Paula. He accuses Paula to me. He'll come and have bad things said about Paula to me in my mind or other people to say things so that I'll think bad about her. He accuses her to me. Then he turns around and he accuses me to her. So she'll think bad things about me. Sounds like he's trying to divide us, doesn't it?
Yes.
Sounds like he's trying to keep us apart.
Yes.
And then he stands before God and he accuses both of us. You know how good God is. Do you know how good God is? There is nobody like Him. In my life, I've had a lot of... Because God put me in this body and gave me the personality that He did, I've had a lot of rejection in my life. I wish I could just... Many times have said, you know, God called me to preach, and I go to Bible college, and I meet all these polished preachers around the country as I preach around the country, and I would say, and people tell me all the time, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you talk too much. All you do is talk, 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 talk. And then I got a daughter, and then she does talk, talk, talk. And then I got a grandson, and he just talks, talk, talk. And they're like Energizer bunnies, just never. And it's like, you know, they said to him the other day, you know, you need to have somebody to talk to. You can't just keep talking all the time. But that's what we said to her when she was growing up, you know, as mom. But they all got it from me. And so what I'm saying to you is, and then I got it from some other people, I guess. But anyway, the point is that when I was growing up, people would say all kinds of things about me and my personality being too outgoing, being too forward, talking too much, being abrasive, whatever. So I had a lot of rejection. And what I want you to understand is you've had it too in your life. And the only one you could turn to is God. Because what you need to understand is that He does not have a cutoff place. He loves you. Do you understand? I don't know if you do. That's why we're talking. Do you know that He loves you no matter what? Do you know that God loves you? You could say, Jesus loves me no matter what. See, Jesus doesn't love you just when you're doing good. You know, how's the song? Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad. What does it say? But it makes Him very sad. You see, He loves us, but He's not like us in this way. He's not like when we do bad, He gives us the look. You know, He's not trying to manipulate us. He loves us. In the midst of when I'm in sin, in the midst of when I'm failing, in the midst of when I am a mess, and I turn back to Jesus, He's right there with His arms wide open, holding me, hugging me. Look at that verse 19. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which You have laid up for them that fear You, which You have wrought or worked in the lives of them that trust in You before the sons of men. There is nobody like Him. When I met Him, when I was a drug dealer and I had all this money because I was making about $2,000 to $5,000 a week, I was 19 years old. Selling drugs. And I had all kinds of people around me all the time. If you had a friend that they had $2,000 to $5,000 a week to spend any way they wanted, and they would waste it on you every week and just give you all kinds of stuff, you'd want to hang around them too, wouldn't you? But I remember right before I met Jesus, sitting in my apartment, this is back when they had 8-tracks, and why are y'all laughing? What's... Yeah, it was back when we had the monkey that was doing this, you know, to keep it. Anyway, it was back.
Just before.
Was the monkey on drugs?
Yeah.
He was on his back.
And the 8-track was playing, and my apartment was filled with people. And I remember sitting on my couch or chair, whatever it was. I think it was a couch. And I was looking, and there was just like almost standing room only in my apartment, and this music was going, everybody's dancing, and they're doing drugs. And I remember thinking, I am so lonely. I have tried to talk to these people about what's inside of me, and it's like they look at you, but no one's home, you know? They're not really listening. They may be looking at you, but it looks like Orphan Annie, you know, little eyes with no life in them, you know? Or they didn't want to hear about it. I got to go. Don't have any drugs right now. I don't really want to hear this. I don't want to get brought down. I only come to you to get high. And that's how a lot of people are. Because God is about giving. And the enemy is about taking. And everybody in this world, everybody in this room, is either a giver or a taker. A giver simply means that they're after the heart of God. They want God. They may be saved. They may not be saved. Acts chapter 10, we find Cornelius. He wasn't saved. But he was after God as much as he knew. He was walking in that light. But he didn't know God yet. But he was after God. And then you find the people that are takers. And that's all they're doing, is they just want to take from you. Because the devil, John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief, the devil, old snake breath, cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Jesus said, "Chanawa." He said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly," like an artesian well where it's just flowing and bubbling out of you, because it's God's life. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? When I met Him, I'm sitting there and I'm looking around this room and there's all these people and it's like I'm miserable and I'm empty and I'm hurting and I'm grieving. And if I wasn't a coward, I would have killed myself. Because I wanted to a number of different times, and I couldn't figure out a way to do it that wasn't going to hurt. And because I'm allergic to pain. I just don't like pain. I go to dentists that cater to cowards. You know, they said, "Do you want the shot or do you want the gas?" I said, "I want both, and I want the music, and I want the girl standing there patting my hand while you're sticking a needle in me so it distracts me." I said, "I want everything. If you've got anything, you give it to me because I don't like pain." And I remember I was just hurting so bad. And there was all these people, and they all said they were my friends. Were they my friends? Are the people that you call friends, are they really your friend? In Proverbs 18:21, I hope you're writing these down so, because it'll help you. Proverbs 18:21 says, "There it says, he that hath friends," you want friends? You must show yourself friendly. "And there is a friend, Jesus, that sticks closer than a brother." We can have relatives, and they're not going to stick as close to us as Jesus. We can have people around us, but there's nobody like Him. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you, respect you, honor you. Do you fear God? Do you respect Him? Do we honor Him? Do we honor Him with our choices? Do we respect Him? Do we respect His way? You see, He loves you just like you are. But He loves you a lot more than you like yourself, because He wouldn't do to you what you do to yourself. He really wouldn't. One of my grandsons is skateboarding, and he breaks his leg. And he comes to our house, and they must have given him some special kind of medicine because he was all friendly and talkative. And so he comes to our house, and I went up to him, and he's telling me about how he hurt his leg. And I said, "Well, you know, I like you better than you like yourself." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I wouldn't do to you what you did to yourself." You know, I look at that skateboarding stuff and rollerblading, and I say, "They must be on drugs to have to do that stuff, because I wouldn't do that stuff if I was normal." You know what I mean? And since I'm what I think is normal, I don't do it. Okay? The rest of y'all can get over that over there. Oh, how great is your goodness. Now look what he says, which he has laid up. You see, God's goodness. Did you ever hear about the this true story? I believe it was World War II. Lady, like let's say Patty, her son goes to war, like Nick, and while and Patty's real, this is a true story, but I don't remember the names, you know, I only know the story. and the mom, he would send things home to her every month, and she was real poor. And the people in her church heard about, you know, how poor she was, and they decided to do something, and they went over and they said they were trying to check out and be responsible and find out, you know, about her life and how she was taken care of. And she says, I don't really have anyone. My son, he's off at war. And, well, do you ever hear from him? But yeah, every month he sends me these things. I don't know what they are. And because I'm so poor, she said, I put them on the walls, you know, to wallpaper, because I didn't have any other way to wallpaper the walls. What he was doing was he was sending her like money orders. And she had all her walls covered with money orders. This lady had all kinds of money to be taken care of, and she was poor, and she didn't even realize that. And you and I are like that. We are surrounded by the goodness of God. And God is like reaching out to us all the time. Every day, He is extending His hand, but we won't turn to Him. We don't listen to Him. We forsake Him. We go our own way. We're not even aware. We're oblivious. And people say, can't you see God? And in the situation, we go through situations and God is right there. And sometimes when those of you that talk with us, we share with you, you know, as you come to us and we just start, Sue and I start talking to you, we help you to find God in the situation, and you didn't even see Him. But He was there all the time. He was there, right there. And as His goodness is laid up for you, He wants you to know Him. You know, do you know, you remember at the beginning of the service, everybody sitting there? I mean, is there anybody who remembers that, or did y'all forget that if we dance? You remember at the beginning, everybody sitting there? You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, I shall not be moved. That's not what it's talking about. Okay? That is not what it's talking about. But that's what some people, when it gets to be altar call time or time to praise, and they claim as their life's first, I shall not be moved. You know? And that's not the right time for that verse. That's right. The evidence, the proof of the Holy Spirit is goodness.
He's so great. His goodness is so great. We cannot outgive His goodness.
Yeah. I know. Isn't that cool? He chases us down with His goodness. Isn't that amazing? And you know, we could focus on the things that come in our life. When the sister was singing up here, and she was singing about, you know, I've been alone, and I've been scared, and I've been, you know, without hope. But there's God shows up, you know, however she sang it. I don't know. I'd like to sing it like that, but, you know, not this side of glory. Okay. That's right. Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. But in order for us, you know what, everybody is like motivated by something. And y'all were talking about songs earlier that are in the scripture to sing. Hold your place in Psalm 31 and go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. When you're there, just like raise your hand, you know, so I can see. You don't have to hold it up, but just raise it so I can see it. I just want to make sure the majority of people are there. 2 Timothy 1:7. I saw that hand. All right. 2 Timothy 1:7. Are you there? Is there anybody not there? Are you there? It says, how's that tune? For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is where in the Bible you'll find God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I don't care. Do you get it?
We got it.
You like cats? Yeah, under my tires. Okay, anyway, sorry, yeah, with ketchup. Okay, no, only kidding. I'm sorry, you know. Tastes good with ketchup. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Answer me a question. At the beginning of the service, when you were sitting there like this, and you were afraid to move, what was that? Do you like that? Is that where you want to live? So here's what we do. We tell God. See, we focus on God and on His goodness. The goodness of God. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you. Which you have wrought for them that trust in you before the sons of men, in front of other people. See, I choose not to be afraid. I told you this story before, but I'll tell it to you again. I went to a credit union here in Grand Rapids that I used to do business with. And I walked in, and it was my credit union. I went there all the time. And I walked in this one day, and you could have heard a pin drop. There was all these people, and there wasn't a bit of noise. Everybody was sitting there like this. It was like, I thought, is there a robbery going on? I was looking around. I really did. I thought there was a robbery because everybody was just like, and nobody, you couldn't hear anybody talking. The ones behind the counter were, nope, I mean, you could see lips moving. You couldn't hear any voices. And I'm like, there must be a robbery. And I was looking around, and it was like a thick cloud of oppression, like fear in that place. And I walked in, and I had just been singing out of my truck, right? So I walk in. Yeah. I walk in. I'm like looking for a place to just let God get loose, you know? And they're all just like. And I walked in. It was my credit union. And I went to stand in line. There was about five people in front of me. And I'm standing there. And it's like, I couldn't stand it. It was like, this thing was like so oppressive. I thought it was going to get me, okay? And I yelled out, I refuse. I said this right out loud in my credit union. I refuse to be intimidated in my own bank. I am not going to come in here and feel like I'm being held up. I said, I came to bring some money in this place, and I'm doing it willingly. And I am not going to have this feeling take over me. Security guards came running. People came out from offices. Everybody's eyes were about this big. You know what? You know what happened? I don't know what anybody said. No, at that time I didn't get arrested. I don't think I've ever been arrested. Nope. I should have been, but I never have been. But what ended up happening was all of a sudden people start talking. They were probably talking about me, but who cares? Okay? But they all start talking. Next thing you know, they're all carrying on. I mean, at first they're like, do you hear? I don't know. Man, that's kind of, whoa, it's crazy. I guess what they were saying, I don't know. I couldn't hear them too good, but I could hear them talking now. I couldn't hear anybody before that. And then all of a sudden they all started talking in normal language. They just started talking, and it was like about just normal stuff, you know. Yeah, I was at this store yesterday, and they just started talking, and you could all of a sudden hear everybody talking, and that whole feeling was gone. Let me give you a security guard. They looked at me. They realized that, you know, I wasn't doing anything, and they just all turned around and went back. Yeah. Yeah, they probably thought, sir, you need to take your Prozac. But anyways, you know, can we make a suggestion? Yeah, call your doctor. That's right. And what I'm saying is, I refuse. But you see, that is a spirit of fear. And you and I, all our lives, have been controlled by spirits of fear. And we seem to be afraid of other people's faces. because of the way people have looked at us in the past. Our parents, the eyes, the looks they give. Parents can't get a hold of you while you're in church, so they give you the look. And then you straighten up because mom gave me the look, you know, because I know what's behind that look. And so we get afraid of people's faces. But you see, I call it that God has delivered me from the baloney of the brethren. I don't worry about what everybody thinks. I don't worry about it. I will listen to whatever you have to say and pray about it. But I'm not going to let it rule me. And that's why earlier when everybody was sitting, and I could feel it coming in here, and I said, oh no. Oh no, this is not God. Oh no, we're not going to have that. And that's why I told you, start yelling. Scream out, Jesus, I love you, I need you, whatever. But just yelling. Speaking out. When somebody is doing something to somebody they don't want them, that they shouldn't be doing, robbery or a sexual sin or whatever it is, they're telling them, be quiet. Right? They don't want them talking because they want them in fear. They want to control them. Is that what you want? Do you want the spirit of fear to control you? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
No.
What about the rest of you?
No.
Do you want the spirit of fear to control you?
No.
Well, what we do is I want you to realize that God is bigger than the boogeyman. What's that? That's in VeggieTales. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. For God is bigger than the boogeyman. And he's watching out for you and me. I'm sorry, can you sing that with me?
Yeah.
For God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. For God is bigger than the boogeyman. And he's watching out for you and me. You see? Do you see how that makes you feel free and whatever? But then when you're like this, if you don't like that feeling, step outside. Realize it's not God. If you looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
That means freedom! You know what? You start feeling that, just yell out freedom, because that's what the name Jesus means. Savior, deliverer, one who sets another free. There was a movie called Braveheart. You need a TV guardian or whatever, but anyway, to cut some of that stuff out. But you need to cut some of the scenes out. But at the end, when they're going to cut his head off, which was a true story, okay, after they had afflicted him and done everything, and they were like trying to make him come into agree and submit to them, which was a lie. And they, after they had hurt him, right at the end of the movie, they said, he starts to try to talk. And they'd been choking him and done everything just short of killing him. And this is a true story. Go back and read the story. I mean, it's not exactly the way that Hollywood portrayed it, because they always have to tell lies, you know, try to make it so it'll sell more. But they said, he's going to talk. What's he going to say? So everybody got real quiet. If you saw the movie. And they said, what do you want to say? And he took his last strength and he yelled out, freedom! And everybody did not know what to do. And so they cut his head off. They killed him because they wanted to silence him, because the enemy was against him. I'm letting you know something. The enemy hates your guts. And he wants to keep you quiet. He doesn't want you. I know you've had thoughts. I had to tell this person about Jesus. I had to tell them that Jesus loves them. I had to tell them that God loves you no matter what. Whatever. I had to give this person a hug. I had to buy this person's dinner. I don't know. God has me do that kind of stuff all the time. Now listen to what I'm saying. Yeah.
Bad topic.
My thought to you, would you like me to describe a meal to you? My daughter hates it when I do. She says, Dad, you make me so hungry because you just... My thought to you is that you yell out freedom. You yell out the name of Jesus. And the enemy has to disappear. But I'm going to tell you what, because God is for you. One day, I was in church and God gave me the thought, God is for me. Over in Psalm 18, I don't remember which verse it is, but I wrote next to the verse, He likes me. Because up until then, so many people seemed to not like me in my personality that one day He opened it up and said, Harvey, I like you. You make me laugh. I said, I do. He goes, yeah, you make me laugh. He said, I like you. You know, He said, I made you just like that on purpose. He said, you make me laugh. And you know what? When I got that one day in Psalm 18, He likes me, I took off running. And we were at a meeting somewhere, I don't know. And I took off running, and I just kept running around. Like, they're pitching, and I'm just running. You got this one guy just running around and around and around. I couldn't help it. I was about to bust. I thought I was just going to explode with Him liking me. I want you to look at verse 19. Oh, how great is the goodness of God. Oh, how great is the goodness of God. When I met Him, He takes me back to this all the time. When I met Him, I realized that Jesus was real and that He's alive and that He wanted me. And I haven't always been wanted. And I've told... There's a number of about a half a dozen or more people in this room that their testimony was, when I met Him, I didn't like Him. I didn't want nothing to do with Him. But somehow God worked through my life to bring them to Jesus. And now they love Jesus in me. They're praying for me, but they love Jesus in me. But they really do like me now. They love me. But what I'm saying is it's because of Jesus in me. Do you understand that He loves you? He loves you. The devil hates you, but God loves you. He loves you on purpose. He loves you if you like dogs. He loves you if you don't like dogs. He loves you no matter what. He loves you. He loves you. Father, what I'm asking in this room is that each one that could hear my voice, whether they are or not, that, Lord, You would make alive inside of them that Jesus loves them. Yes. Jesus loves each person in this room. Not just when we do good. He loves you. And He desires you. He is waiting for you. He created you. Do you know... Just watch. You ready? When you get close to Father, okay, when you turn your attention to Him, you meet a need in His heart. Do you know that you minister to God when you turn your focus on Him? God has me say that to people that I talk to all the time. People will call me and I'll say something like, I need to talk to so-and-so. Like I'm calling a business. Somebody called me and I'm calling them back and the secretary or whoever it is answers, and I'll say, can I talk to so-and-so? And they'll say, yes. And I said, let me put you on hold. And I said, well, I want you to have a good day on purpose. On purpose? And I'll go, yeah, on purpose. Matter of fact, why don't you just, every time you breathe in, just receive it as a gift from Jesus, a breath of life. And they'll go, oh, You made my day. And I say, that made your day? And then they just like, as long as they keep saying something, I just keep going. And so I just keep taking them deeper. Father, please reveal to them that she is a delight of your heart and the desire of your soul. And you know what? Women, men, It doesn't matter who it is. They start crying on the phone. Nobody's ever said that to me. They don't know the love of God the way He wants them to. How are they going to know it if we don't allow Him to flow through us? How are they? I'm not asking you to go out like I was taught to do. I'm not asking you to go out and try to charge hell with a squirt gun and got to tell everybody about Jesus and take them, you know, to the cross. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you is, why don't you come and snuggle up to the Father? Why don't you come and just ask Him, I want to know You. I need to know You. And Father, I don't know how to get to You, but You know how to get to me. So I'm inviting You to come interrupt my life with Your presence. As a matter of fact, every time I breathe, now when I quit breathing, don't worry about it, Father. But as every time I breathe in, I want You, Jesus, to take it as a personal invitation, whether I say it or not. I want You to take it as a personal invitation to come interrupt my life with Your presence. And when I'm exhaling, I want to give You everything that's not You in me. All the stinking thinking, all the hurts, all the antichrist influence in my life. I'm giving it up. I don't want it. But come invade me. Do whatever it takes to bring me into Your presence. Come reveal Yourself to me in any way You want. I need You today. I don't want to make it. You think things are hard in your life? I'm going to let you know. Things are going to get harder. See, God, when you're going right now through valleys, you have to go through a valley to get to the next mountain. But I'm letting you know what's coming in this world, what's coming in this country, is not good. And you are going to need God or you're not going to make it. Okay? And He won't give you more than you can handle. But the only way you're going to be able to handle it is with Him. Do you understand? Because God is bigger than the boogeyman. And He loves you on purpose. He loves you for who you are, just like you are. Yes.
To let our light so shine that people would see it. So, you know, we're here to build one another up, not tear each other down.
Amen.
That is so important that, you know, even if a person don't want to get close to you or whatever, God said just plant the seed.
That's right.
And I'll make it grow.
I'm a Johnny Appleseed in the kingdom of God. Everywhere I go, I just plant the seed thought. And then I ask the Holy Spirit to come and water it. That's it. I say, Lord, all I can do when I'm preaching is put these words in their little ear balls.
Yeah.
But I want You to take those words and plant them down in their spirit and bring forth fruit unto Yourself, Lord. I want You to grow inside of them. But every one of you has a choice of what you're going to do. You get to choose who you're going to listen to. You get to choose what you're going to do with it. And there's a saying that God gave me. Your life is the sum total of the choices that you make. You want to hear that again? Your life is a sum total of all the choices that you make. You get to choose what you're thinking on. On Wednesday night, when I was talking to the men, God gave me a thought right at the end of homework. And I said, men, I want you to take this week and I want you to get a thought from God out of the scripture. And I want you to meditate it on it all day long. For example, Psalm 103:3 says, who forgiveth, five words, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? I said, I dare you to meditate on those five words all day long. Just meditate. Who forgives you of all your iniquities? Meditate on that. And what does He do? He forgives. What is that? It's like, He forgives. It's taken care of. He paid for it, and it's gone. It's buried in the sea of forgetfulness, separated from the east is from the west. Jesus said, no more guilty. You are now innocent through the blood of Jesus. All. How many? Well, some of them. You know, it's like, I know about this other thing I did. I was stupid, and I did this, and I was that, and blah, 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 blah. It's stinking thinking. We become what we associate with. And if you're thinking on stinking thinking, then you have garbage life. You understand? We need to kick that out. What are we thinking about? Who forgiveth all your sin? All thine, mine, sin, iniquity, thoughts of sin, choices. You know what? You just meditate on that all day. God's had me do that for 32 years. Meditate on the Word of God. Just take a thought and meditate on it for hours and hours and days and weeks on one thought. It will change your life. Because every day, what are you thinking about? Video games? Oh, I'm sorry. That's wonderful. How's that helping your life? I'm just asking. I'm not saying it's not fun. Amusement. Do you know what the word muse means? The base word of that little word, amusement? Muse means to think. Do you know what amuse means? To not think. Oh, I see. So let's amuse ourselves. Let's not think. I wonder if that's Jesus. You see what I'm saying? What are we thinking about? Do you know what we do around our house and around our grandkids all the time? Is we just keep pointing them all day long. Everything about their life, point them to Jesus. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to see God in the situation. How to deal with situations about God. Talking about Jesus. Because that's where our focus needs to be. You see the verse 19? Oh, how great is thy goodness. You have laid up for them that fear you, that respect you, that honor you. Could I ask you to just ask yourself this question? How am I honoring God? How am I respecting God with my life, with my choices? How am I fearing God? You see, when you fear God, you don't have to fear man. Have you ever had anybody pull a gun on you and tell you they were going to kill you? I have. If you ever have that happen, it's my son thought it was real cool to go and, what's that thing called where somebody can't pay their bill, repossess cars. And they would go at night, they would stake him out, and he would pull up. You know, they'd wait until the people were, all the lights were gone. They would stake out the house, he and his buddy. And then they would take that truck, and they would quickly go over there, and they would jump out, and they would hook it up to the car, and they would take off. They thought it was real fun until he thought it was a real rush. Oh, what a rush, Dad. And then one time, they were sneaking around to get the car, and he looked up, and there was a double-barrel shotgun right in his face. And the guy said, you touch my car, you don't have a head. After he got some dry pants on, he said, that's not exactly what I enjoyed. This isn't what I thought it would be. What I'm saying to you is, I had somebody stick a gun in my face because I told him about Jesus. Go for it. What are you trying to do? Threaten me with heaven? Send me to Jesus, please. Go downtown, those kids. What's up, man? What's up? Jesus. And you can't get higher than him, so why do you try? And if you reached out and touched their lips, it would sound like this. Because they don't know. So then I talk to them about Jesus, and some of them get saved. Because they don't know all just walk around. We're all different. So we all say, what's up? We all wear our pants down to our knees. What's up? Because we're all different. I want to be different. I mean, different than what? Because you're all alike. Do you see what I'm saying? What are we focused on? Because if you fear God, you don't have to fear man. Oh, how great is God's goodness, which He has laid up for them that fear Him, which He has wrought for them that trust in Him before the sons of men. When I worked at a machine shop with 200 men, they all carried zip guns. I don't know if you know what that is. Switchblades, chains. They were some bad dudes, okay? This was 13 and a half in Stevenson, Madison Heights, over by Detroit, okay? It was a machine shop. Everybody's bigger than me, except the sixth graders. But everybody's bigger than me. And all these guys were. And when I went in that shop, I started sharing about Jesus. Now, here's 200 men. They would surround me in groups. For the first week or two, they would surround me. There was about 150 of them that would surround me every day and mock God and do all kinds of stuff. And then finally, God had me say something to the leader. And when he left, they dwindled down to about 20, and I could handle 20. And that was easy. And then what happened was every day, these guys, there was a machine. My machine was over about like where that corner is, and about that to where that door is, about that far away, was the coffee. I don't know what you call it, but it was like a coffee machine and a Coke machine and like a little cookie machine or whatever. And these guys could take breaks whenever they wanted. And they would all go and they would hang out over there and they would be pointing at me and laughing and whatever. And then they would come over, about 20 of them, 10 or 20 of them. And then they'd come over to my machine and they'd start telling dirty jokes to one another and saying, mocking me and saying all kinds of stuff. That's when I started memorizing scripture out loud. For God so loved the world that you reprobates, that He gave His only begotten Son. Sorry, y'all are like going, you know, oh, I wish you would be a little more calm. I wish you'd just be a little more palatable, you know. But you haven't been where I've been. And you're not designed to be me. You go ahead and be your little palatable self, okay? But that's not what He designed me to be. Now hear what I'm saying. They would surround me, groups of 10 or 20. They're all tough, they're all talking, they're all mouthy. You know, they're cool, right? I would walk through this machine shop, had 200 men. I'd walk through the machine shop. I just was walking through, and I would see a guy working, but he'd be by himself. He didn't have his gang. And I'd say, hi, how are you? Because I tried to be friends with everybody. Didn't the Bible say he that has friends must show himself friendly? So I was just going to be friends to him. Hi. And they'd look up when they saw me. Guys got hurt trying to get away from me. And they would run. That's what it says. God's fear goes before us. He surrounds us so that the enemy is afraid of us. And people were afraid in that shop to talk to me one-on-one. They were scared. Don't you have that? Haven't some of you work at shops? And there's a lot of people that happen in your life? What I'm saying to you is that's what the verse says. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you, which you have wrought for them that trust in you before the sons of men. God, I want to know you. I need you. And maybe you're going through something in your life where He is bringing you to a place of where you know you need Him more. You lost your cat and you found out it's not the cat, it's God I need. You see what I'm saying? And God allows things working in our lives to bring us to Him. Do you want Him? Do you want Him? Do you want Him? Because He wants you. Just so you know, just so I tell you, personally, He wants you. Lord Jesus, we just commit this time into Your hands. We commit hopefully this was you, and whatever you want to do through it, I'm asking that you would open our ears, you would open our hearts, that you would help folks in this room right now just to say, yes, I do want you, Jesus, and I do need you, Jesus. And I'm not going to let fear live in me anymore. I'm going to yell out Jesus. I'm going to yell out freedom. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to find you. I want to see you in my everyday life. I'm asking you to come reveal yourself to me, Father. Help me to see you in my everyday life. Because it's you I need. It's you I want. Thank you for pursuing me. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. There's nobody like you. But all those things are just things of your hand. What I want is your person. I want to know you, get close to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.